The Way Ever After Collides, written by Black Cat and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Jango Fett / Kit Fisto.
How fickle my heart and how woozy my eyes. I struggle to find any truth in your lies. And now my heart stumbles on things I don't know. My weakness I feel I must finally show.
It's probably a bad sign that Cad Bane, of all people, is judging his life choices. Shut up, Jango says preemptively, just in case he gets a bad idea. He's a Jedi, Cad drawls, pointed, and that flat stare makes Jango feel vaguely like Jaster's stare used to. Thought you were all about killing Jedi, not this. This looks very much like a Jedi on the floor with Boba, laughing as Boba investigates his tresses with the fascination only a toddler can have. A handsome Jedi, and Jango was going to ignore that fact as much as any sentient can ignore a man like Kit Fisto, but, well. Seeing him take down a Terran Tatic like it was just another training exercise hit something in Jango's brain he'd thought long since dead and buried. Something that other Mandalorians may have warned him about at some point, but Jango thought was patently impossible. Jango's the Jedi killer. He's not supposed to find them attractive, but it's maybe a little amusing, a little reassuring in a strange way, that Kit hits his brain in all the ways Jedi have always hit Mandalorians. Watching him with Boba just makes that clearer. It doesn't change what happened on Galadron, but the fact that there's even a but attached to that sentence says a lot, potentially. Cad grunts, wholly unimpressed, and shoves a toothpick into the corner of his mouth, since Jango won't let him have his death sticks anywhere near Boba. Fact that you had to get saved by a Jedi might tell you something about picking fights with things bigger than you, he says, maybe a little pointed. Jango ignores that. The Terran Tatic had a high bounty attached, and he's still a bounty hunter first and foremost. Delivering a creature to some mad scientist in the Outer Rim was just a job. Or it would have been, if Jango had managed it. He underestimated the thing, though, and it was only Kit stepping in to save Hem and Cad and his ship that fixed things. The irony of a Jedi saving Hem and Boba is so thick Jango could choke on it, but Kit rises, his tresses curling and shifting around him, a flash of green shoulder and silvery markings showing as his torn shirt pulls. He hefts Boba up onto his hip, and Jango is on his feet before he can even think about the motion, taking a step out of the cockpit to meet Kit as he approaches. That smile should be illegal. It should especially be illegal when aimed at Jango, soft, warm, attached to a man who killed a creature meant to hunt Force sensitives, but who can still hold Boba like he's a precious, impossible thing. All of those warnings Jaster gave him about getting distracted by Jedi make a hell of a lot more sense now, after meeting Kit. Time for a nap, Jango asks gruffly, reaching out, and Kit chuckles as he settles Boba in Jango's grip. It's a warm thing, slides over Jango's skin like bright water, sinks into a cold, empty place that's been barren for so long Jango forgot it used to be filled. When Kit appeared out of the hills to save them, lightsaber burning, movements so swift and perfect and elegant that they looked like dancing, Jango had felt his heart turn over for the first time in years. He's outcast, banished, can't technically call himself a Mandalorian anymore, is going to be Darmanda when the Clone Army plan goes through. But in that moment, for the first time in decades, Jango had felt down to his bones that he was Mandalorian, with all the same strengths and weaknesses that Jaster always laughed about. Instinct, immediate breathlessness, something like awe, and, well, easy to understand, like that, just why Mandalorians have always been obsessed with the Jedi. I believe he's tired enough to sleep, Kit confirms, and when Boba grabs for his tresses, he doesn't flinch. Just chuckles, leans in, those huge dark eyes soft, and lets his tentacles curl gently around Boba's grasping hand. It's all right, little one. I'll be here when you wake up, too. Jango breathes, watching him, and there used to be a tradition, among the older houses and clans, on places like Conquered Dawn specifically, though it spread. A Mandalorian who captured a Jedi and spirited them away to their homestead could claim marriage, could mark them as spouses after a year and a day. Impossible to hold a Jedi for that long if they didn't want to be held, but Jango hasn't been back to Conquered Dawn since he was banished by the new Mandalorian's haughty Duchess. It might be nice to go home for a while. Dooku wants him with the burgeoning clone army, overseeing things, but Dooku can pound sand. Jango's always been a man who gets what he wants. The details don't matter. Just the wants, and fulfilling them. Besides, it's not like anyone in the whole universe could blame him, looking at Kit. Cad can judge all he wants, but Kit's the most beautiful thing Jango's ever seen, and Jango wants. Got some free time? He asks, watching Kit. And when Kit glances up, head cocked, interest and kindness on his face, it makes something in Jango's chest feel tight. Not Galadron, not Snow and Dooku's cold gaze and bodies on the ground, put there by 100 bad decisions. But something else. Something brighter and gentler that feels a little like how Jango did when Boba was placed in his arms for the first time. Certainly, Kit says, warm. I finished my mission a while ago, and I've simply been wandering ever since. Encountering you was a lucky twist of fate, Jango. I'd planned to return to Coruscant, but this is much more pleasant. Jango hasn't been back to the farm on Conquered Dawn since right after Jaster's death. It's still in ruins, mostly, but something he could rebuild, maybe, if there was a reason to rebuild it. The kid would be sad to see you leave, Jango says, and curls a hand around Kit's wrist. A year and a day, he thinks. He's got secrets he can leverage, Dooku's mostly, but surely a Jedi would want to know. The way Kit looks at him, too, that has to mean something. That has to be another leverage point. Jango gets what he wants, even if it bites him, even if it means changing course entirely. And for the first time in years, he's feeling like he has something he truly wants. It's gorgeous and gentle and deadly with a lightsaber, and Kit looks at him like he's not broken, like he's not just a shell of anger and old hurts. Between that and him turning the Tarantatic into kibble, Jango was lost the second Kit saved them. He knew it at the time, and that knowledge has only gotten stronger in the days since. Mandobait, Jaster used to call Jedi. Jango had thought it was a stupid, vaguely amusing way of coping with the Jedi not paying much attention to Mandalorians, their self-appointed greatest enemy, but not anymore. Jaster was always right. Jango knows that. He'd just forgotten over the years. Come to Conquered Dawn with me, he asks. My family's farm, I haven't been back since the Civil War. And maybe you can help me find out what happened to my sister. Kit considers him for a bare moment, then nods without hesitation. Certainly, Jango, he agrees, and Jango breathes out, reaches. When he pulls Kit in against his side, there's a start, surprised, but Kit wraps his arms around Boba and Jango without hesitation, chuckle warm, tresses curling across Jango's skin like a temptation. It's easier to face such things with help, Kit says gently, and Jango splays a hand over his muscled back, breathes out into sleek tresses, and feels Kit's faint shiver, the hitch of his breath. Smiles, pleased, and ignores entirely the judgmental gaze Cad has pinned on the back of his head. Yeah, he says. Think I'm figuring that out, finally. A year and a day. That's all it will take to change everything. And Jango is looking forward to it. The end.